settle in, get comfortable, and let our journey begin as we meet the hosts, internationally acclaimed mediums, Nick and Sylvie Avery.
Once again, and welcome to the Spirit's Work Show, the metaphysical and spiritual show with a difference. I'm Sylvie Avery.
And I'm Nick Avery. Hello.
We're mediums who have chosen to serve humanity through our gifts of spirit communication. On this show, we focus on education, and through mixed deep trance channeling, we are able to bring you the truth and the facts about the nature of your existence direct from the other side of life. On today's show, we'll be continuing our discussion on the development of your gifts of spirit. It's been a fascinating, this is part four today, actually, fascinating time. And do phone us up if you have any questions about any sort of form of development that you're doing or you're thinking of doing, any problems that you might be having. If you'd like to ask Spirit Gregory a question, the phone lines will be open, and it's a toll-free call in the U.S., this is 877-876-5227, and Canada, 888-810-8322.
As well as Spirit's Work on bbsradio.com on Mondays at 7 p.m. and Thursdays at 1 p.m. Pacific, we have another radio show, which is Spirit Teaching on artistfirst.com every Tuesday at 7 p.m. Pacific. If you'd like to know more about us, our books, CDs, our spirit work, or maybe book an Akashic reading, we suggest you go to our website, which is www.spirit-teaching.com. Each week, live on the show, I channel an enlightened spirit guide called Gregory Hay, who is the main spokesperson for a group of highly evolved spirit people called the White Cloud Group. Gregory himself had an earth life in the early 1700s in England, but now he's come back to share the vast insights and wisdom he has gained access to with those of us still on the earth. So, I don't talk long, as spirits are very, very close. And as you probably gathered, it's probably best that way anyway, because when spirits come really close, basically they start taking me over, kind of, the energy begins to increase, and what happens is that I just lose the link with my actual physical brain, and so I start talking absolute rubbish, and so it's best for me to stop.
So here's a prime example of Mick in talking rubbish mode. So
yeah.
Yes, so basically what will happen now is Mick's going to take his glasses off
and go to sleep,
have a drink of water, and he'll go into trance, and then Gregory will come through and take the show. Basically, that is what happens. I mean, we've been doing this for 13 years now, but it used to take Mick, a good few hours beforehand to calm his mind down and to relax enough to do this. These days, he can bring Gregory through in about five seconds, but he does, for the last hour, like Mick said, start closing down. The energy starts coming close. And basically, this is all to do with the preparation. So I'll just tell you a little bit about Gregory Hay, who you're going to be listening to. He is a spokesperson for the White Cloud Group, and they consist of scientific minds of all description, along with ordinary people. They're an educational team and have come to give us access to information that we need to know in order that we may move towards a more harmonious and peaceful way of life. When Mick is in trance, his spirit and his consciousness are transported and held by the scientific members of the White Cloud Group so that we can enjoy the complete personality of Gregory Hay. So it's not thoughts taken from Mick's mind or Mick translating spirit's thoughts to us. It's 100% spirit guide Gregory, and Mick will not be aware of anything that has happened until when he comes back, and then he won't know anything until we tell him. if we decide to tell him. We might not tell him. I'm losing my voice. But that's okay, because Gregory's going to be doing all the talking. Hello, Gregory.
Hello, my dear friend. With love and light, as always, friend.
Lovely to speak to you again.
Yes, quite so.
So, today we're going to be continuing our discussion about development of all sorts of forms of gifts of spirit.
Yes, quite so. And so, we continue this pathway. We're looking at different ways in which people may be in touch with their spirit and also recognize their own inner gifts. This is an important situation for every soul in physical life, because everyone needs to recognize that they have gifts of spirit, that is, of their spirit, and they make and meet these gifts when it is that they actually sit down and understand the connection between the physical state and the spirit. The spirit is eternal. In this case, in every being, in every individual in physical life, you all have the possibility of creating this link between yourself and the spirit world.
And when you talk about the link between you and the spirit, you mean your spirit initially, don't you?
Yes, absolutely. I'm not talking about all of you beings out there communicating with people from our side of life necessarily. That isn't what it's about at all. In past situations, we have dealt with the pros and the conversations of what ifs. What if I do this? Will it be that spirit will come to me? How do I actually develop a spirit gift? Well, first of all, many of you may be hung up by what that spirit gift may be. You may think that you want to develop this or that gift, but you may not actually have that gift at all within your state. To do with what gift then does a person have? What are they able to perceive? Well, each and every one of you does have the gift of healing. So that is a place to start with, a place to start from. You can understand by having a healing gift that this is something, as I had said previously, to do either with words, or physical action, or thoughts. Loving thoughts that come from the central well of the love within a self. When these thoughts are brought to your mind, to the attention of your mind, you are actually perhaps propelling them towards someone else who may need your help. Isn't this the best sort of gift you can ever give to anyone? Doesn't cost you anything to do. You don't have to go to college. You don't have to go and seek out books in order to learn anything about it. Because healing, my friends, is free. There it is. The spirit world has given it to you. Completely free. You don't have to pay for it, except perhaps a little time in developing it. That's something that everyone can do.
What is the difference between spiritual healing, or spirit healing, should I say, and Reiki?
Well, Reiki is really to do with energies and to do with a format of centering a being into a certain given way so that you actually connect as a being with possibilities of using magnetic energy. Reiki does not necessarily include laying on of hands, after all. It can be with the hands held off, but you would actually use a certain set of symbols, symbolism, or whatever, in your training, which enables you to connect with the energy life force of the universe in that way.
Right.
With spirit healing, all you are doing is opening yourself to spirit, to your spirit, shall we say, to begin with. In the first parts of you doing any healing to anyone, or for anyone. You are stepping into their aura. You are actually asking them their permission for you to do that. In just the same way with any other form of healing, you are opening yourself up in a certain way to receiving energy from the universe. Many people may actually have problems with this, perhaps because they are confined in their own religious understanding or beliefs. These may say that you are not allowed to open yourself to anything within the ether world apart from the icon of that religion. So this would mean then that you would have this icon in the forefront of your mind. Perhaps it is Jesus, as Christians will do, or maybe Mary, or depending upon the religious slant that you have, then, and you will have been taught in that respect to respect only that which you have been given, only that icon, only that image. So you have this as a form of precept of your adoration and your the way that you develop your energy. So that means then that when you are giving healing, and yes, you can give healing in this situation, in this context, you can give healing to someone else. Even though you are Christian, of course you can. And I'm not saying that you being a Christian then means that you are setting yourself apart from all of this situation to do with spirit and healing. You would call it something else, perhaps. You would perhaps call it the Holy Spirit, that is the energy that you are using. Some people, of course, may be actually fixated by angels and that sort of emblem, and that you have and use that as an icon to center your energy upon, and you use that to connect with, to say that you are channeling that energy through in order to help someone who is sick. I'm not saying that any of those situations don't work. If you want to use an icon or something like that, if you want to use your religious thought and experience to enhance your healing ability, so be it. Those in the spirit world are most certainly not affected by the situations, the ways in which people are actually anchored into their religion. It is a matter for you. It is your choice. And all I would have to say to this is that beings from the spirit world will still join you, even though you say that you are working only through the power of Jesus or a certain angel or whatever. It is still that you are connecting with the spirit world. That's what you're doing. That is the mechanic of what you are doing.
It's interesting, isn't it? Because our guides are normally from all different races and nationalities, aren't they?
Oh, yes, and all kinds of religious backgrounds
absolutely.
That they ever had in physical life, yes.
Mm.
There can be Buddhist monks, there can be all kinds of people, rich people who were poor, people who were downtrodden. It could be children, waifs and strays from society from long ago, or even just from a short while ago. There will be different people with different energies connecting with you, because that is the mass of civilization. And all of those beings who have passed before all still have an effect upon what is now.
Absolutely. So many people have different development issues, and we often talk about knowledge, having a lot of knowledge, but knowledge sometimes can get in the way because you hear people talking about power and that sort of thing, and they are intent on striving for something that gives them power.
Yes.
When they actually don't have to do that, do they?
No, not at all.
They have to just give, don't they?
Yes. That is the point. Giving is the point. Don't step into the power. Don't think that you're the powerhouse for this or that. Just be in the state of being will be enough to bring all the energy that is needed.
Hello, caller.
Hello.
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 Hello. Can you hear
Who's
me?
Who's this? Yes.
My name is Erin.
Oh, hi.
I have a question. Mm-hmm. I've lately had this overwhelming urge that my spirit or my guide is trying to contact me. Mm-hmm. And I've tried to reach them with meditation, and that's not working. And I wondered if you can tell me if there's a message for me.
Yes, my friend. In fact, my friend, I have to say you're just trying too hard.
Okay.
That's the message. That what you need to do is to step back from the situation that this actually brings to you. And I know that this is something you understand, that you are feeling anxious over this situation, as though you should know it, because everybody else apparently has their guides or whatever, at least that's what you're led to believe. And, my friend, the point is, you don't have to know their name, although, of course, it helps. The point is that your guide really wants you to do the work. And we are talking, of course, about your primary guide to do with this. There will be other helpers and other beings who are with you who also will try to inspire you. But the point is that during your meditation, what you are doing is you are fixating a little too much upon wanting to make this contact. That in itself is a block to you making the contact. I know it perhaps seems ridiculous. All you need to do, friend, is perhaps at the beginning of your meditation, just say, please, dear spirit, in my meditation, I would like to make contact with my spirit guide, if at all possible. And perhaps you could say who this is you want to make contact with. Perhaps it's your doorkeeper, or perhaps some other principal spirit guide. And as I say, you don't have to know their name. So it could be your healing guide, or someone like that, you see, something to do with a specific gift that you would like to develop.
Okay, so I've also lately, like for the last couple of weeks, just had this urging that I need to just be filled with more, with all positive, loving, good thoughts, and get rid of all negativity, judgments, things like that. And is there something going on that's making me so in tune to all of this?
Yes, the problem, my friend, is really that you are sometimes a little bit too harsh on yourself. You are a human being having a human physical existence. So please don't think that you have to quieten all of those errant thoughts that you may have, even though they are fairly rare. The point is that if you are then too harsh upon yourself, you are then thinking about those thoughts, or trying to quell them or whatever. Even so, that will be an activity. What you need to do is to understand that the simplest way of meditation is just purely to be simply at peace. Now, all you need to do is not to work on those perhaps some occasional errant thoughts that you may get, or behaviors, or whatever that is. Life is difficult. People react to situations. You cannot help it. But if you meditate more regularly, then this will sink less and less into the background as you are able to envelop your own life experience in a more peaceful way. So, my friend, if you just step back from that situation and just think, well, if I can't fix it now, I'm not going to fix it for the rest of the day, so why don't I just leave it alone, and perhaps tomorrow I'll be in a better mind to mend the problem. That way, you won't actually have the problem on your mind to begin with. And then you can have a nice, peaceful meditation, not just for your own spiritual state, but also it will be a chance and a time when those wonderful spirit guides who are with you, when they'll be able to actually make their presence felt. And it will be in a very real way. It won't be something that you expect. It won't be something that's already there in your mind. That is part of the problem, is that you are centering your mind on a specific goal rather than just being in the presence of the energy of spirit. And then you will actually, by doing this, you will feel the presence of spirit around you. And just try not to attract attention to that, and just allow yourself to bathe in the waters of spirit, in the energy that they bring. You see, it's a little like if you lie in a large volume of water, perhaps in the swimming baths or something like that, and you're just floating. And just by just floating in that body of water, floating in that body of what is the physical air, and allowing just nothing to affect you, you are actually opening up in a much purer way to spirit. And therefore, you will be able to make that connection. My friend, I have known of human beings in physical life who have sat and meditated for 5 years and have actually received nothing for 5 years. And then suddenly one day, there it is. And it was worth the wait. Because the beauty and the absolute quality of contact that was made once it was established was something which created almost wordless expression for that being. So try not to put too much into one thing.
Okay.
And just remember that if your spirit guide does not make contact with you this time you meditate, it isn't because you're doing something wrong. It isn't because you're not ready. It isn't because your energy is wrong. It is simply that you're not at peace.
Okay, thank you. Are you feeling any message for me that I'm not able to get?
I was just going to suggest to you was that we do, if you can't afford a full Akashic reading from us, we do mini Akashic readings, free mini Akashic readings, once a month. We've just finished doing them. We're doing them again on this show on the 16th of April. I might suggest to you that that might be good for you because you find out all sorts of good stuff on that.
Okay.
If you want to email enq@spirit-teaching.com, okay, which is actually, you might not have a pen to hand. Our website is spirit-teaching.com, and then you can find out our email from that.
Okay.
And we need your full name at birth, including the middle name, your date of birth, and a question, okay, and a telephone number, just in case the email goes kaput, okay?
Okay. All right. Well, thank you so much.
I think you'll find that very beneficial.
I will do my best to tune into that, and I thank you both very much.
Send me an email, okay?
Okay.
Bye-bye. Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.
Thank you. Bye.
Yeah. This is the thing. I think, and I know I mentioned it last week, that we hear all the time of people saying I'm a third, fourth, fifth generation psychic medium, and I was like this at birth and all the rest of it. And it does make other people wonder then that when they are sitting for their development, they feel that they've got the energy with them, and they can sense that the change in them, within themselves, and then they sit, and then nothing happens. It's like, okay, I'm doing this now. I'm where you want me to be, and nothing happens.
Yes, quite so.
Because we see other people around us doing this, you see.
Yes, part of the problem as well, my friend, happens because of judgment.
Yes.
And because of judgments that human beings make, is they're mainly to do with the way in which you as an individual look at yourself, your aspirations, and where you have come from and what you've amounted to at this moment. So all the time you're making judgments upon yourself. this is something which will hold you back. Quite clearly, because you are making comparisons of your own like for like, exactly the same as human beings do with animals, and then put animals down for saying, oh, well, they're not as intelligent. No, excuse me, they are. They just have a different form of intelligence to human beings. Their intelligence strata is based within a different field.
Mm-hmm.
That is the difference between human beings and other animals. And each animal is different because they have a different set, a different format, a different genetic display, and a different connection with their spirit.
And I don't think, excuse me, my voice keeps going. I don't think that people realize as well that so much work has got to be done behind the scenes.
Yes.
That you can't necessarily feel or sense is happening. So you're sitting there thinking that nothing's happening because you're not feeling anything, sensing anything, seeing
yes.
anything, hearing anything. You shouldn't be looking for anything because that isn't how you develop.
That is true. And what you really need to do is just to set aside from that, and so that the development will come. It will come in its own time. You cannot actually say that this should happen in so many weeks and stick a pin in it.
Mm.
What you need to understand as well is that the situation behind the scenes is actually quite dramatic, because there are contacts being made on your behalf in the spirit world between different beings, and these contacts will gradually become and grow. And this will not actually help you, perhaps, at this present time, because you may think, well, but I want this and this contact now. I want to be a healer. Well, I've already told you, you are a healer. You're a healer. Everyone is a healer, to begin with. So there, you don't have to think that that is something out of the ordinary, because everyone can do it. Everyone can join with their spirit and make contact, bring themselves into the open state of awareness and peace, and send love, send their own energy, develop that energy within itself. That's what sitting's about. That's what meditation is about. Using that development to bring about the raising of your vibration, so that by having a faster vibration, you are able then to make further contact with beings in the spirit world who perhaps may have names, who may not. That's up to them, not up to you.
Something that is quite different, I think, in America to England. In England, we have development circles, a lot of development circles where many people develop together. That doesn't happen so much here unless I'm wrong, but unless you are at a workshop or something like that, you've gone on a course or something.
Yes.
It's something that you do regularly. Apart from your development at home, sitting at home, we have development groups and circles, which is done on a regular night of the week or afternoon or whatever.
Yes, at like the same time every week.
Like clockwork, yes.
Yes, quite. And, of course, some people sit in two or more circles every week. And the point and the purpose of a circle is that this is a shared situation of development. So the whole purpose of it is that, yes, you are, in effect, testing your spirit contact. You may not necessarily have to make specific contact. It depends on how developed you are or how that development progress has taken place. So it may well be that you as a being are perhaps feeling belittled by the person sitting next to you or over from the circle on the opposite side, and that they are getting links between spirit and they are giving people messages in the circle or whatever that is. This is a common, an ordinary development circle. So it is a situation of mixed gifts that everyone has, and people are developing at their own rates. That's a central, important piece of information that you need to retain. People develop at their own rate. It doesn't mean to say that because you do not know your spirit guide, that you are somewhere behind someone else. You don't print league tables or think in terms of where one person is higher developed than another. Unfortunately, that is the view that many people through Ascensionism have grasped onto. Oh, I am higher than this person because I have had so many thousand past lives or whatever, and that I am in communication with ascended masters, whatever that means. And I have to say that is an effect of development, or rather of lack of development, on that person's behalf. Just because you think that you are communicating with a being who is of a so-called ascended master doesn't mean to say you are. In fact, the chances are you're not, because if they've called themselves an ascended master, they're not. Quite simply, it means they've got an ego. People in the spirit world have egos, just the same as they do in physical life. No different. It's just a mirror of it. So when you are looking for guides of this or that flavor, be true to yourself. If you're not feeling it, if they're not coming close to you, fine. It doesn't matter.
It doesn't mean they're not there, though.
No, it doesn't mean
they're not
there.
Doing anything.
No, quite so. They may well be working with scientists and others in the spirit world. Yes, scientists are actually involved in this whole communication process. People of science come together and bring certain mechanisms to aid the facilitation of communication. Why is this? It's quite simple. If you're in the spirit world and you're trying to communicate with someone in physical life, you're not shouting at them. You may be whispering. How do you know that you're going to, as a spirit, get that whisper across when you can't even move a pencil on a table? How do you know that your thoughts and feelings as a spirit being, trying to communicate with a physical being, are actually getting through? Are you having any response? Is there a fluttering of the eyelids that you can see as a spirit being? Or is it that this physical being is being non-responsive? How does a spirit know that they're actually making contact, that they're breaking through? It is only going to be through the process of you as a physical being in response to spirit contact saying, oh, I feel that, thank you. Now there's a thing that you can do. So if you as a physical being are suddenly woken in the middle of the night by someone tapping on your shoulder, and it's an unseen force, say, yes, I can feel that. Thank you very much. Whoever you are. And continue the dialogue if you can. You're not too sleepy. I'm not saying that this is something that you should do all the time. But sometimes, beings in the spirit world will make contact you at the least. At the least expected time, at the greatest opportunity they can, usually when you're not thinking about them or when you're not attracting attention to specific thoughts. And that is when people in the spirit world will come through and actually make themselves felt. And by you saying, echoing, oh yes, I felt that, thank you, perhaps it's a poke in the shoulder or poke in the ribs or something like that, then by you saying that, you are acknowledging the contact. And can you actually believe, well you should, that in the spirit world when that happens, there is absolute joy. Oh yes, we've done it. We brought them through. You see? That's what you have to do. You have to be proactive to do with this situation. So when you come to a state of looking at your own development, and you see, perhaps, oh, well, yes, I've done this and I've done that, but I'm not as good as that person over there. If you're sitting in circle or if you're sitting with someone else and that's the thought in your mind, you're actually moving away from spirit. You're not bringing them to you by having those sorts of thoughts. Even if that person is being egotistical in the way that they are devouring your energy, even if they're doing that, my friends, what you need to do is to just say to yourself, well, that's nice for them. I hope they do well. Always try to remember this. Don't think in the cause and effect of, but they've done better than I have, as you would in physical life. Those are the things when you're communicating with spirit that you need to leave to the behind you, a place behind you. And I know, yes, there are mediums who think in that way. Oh, yes, look at me, and I have this because I have the power. How many times have you heard that? I have the power. I have all this power and energy. Look at me. That being, why did they get away with that? Why does spirit allow that to happen? Purely because they're desperate. That's what you've got to remind yourself. They're desperate.
Okay. I'd like to say thank you for those who may have just joined us on Spirit's Work. You're listening to Spirit Guide Gregory Hay being channeled by Deep Trance Medium Mick Avery. I'm Sylvie Avery, and we're talking about developing your gifts of spirit. Okay. So do our guides meditate? You know, like the reason we meditate is to raise our vibration.
Yes.
To become closer to the spirit world. So
yes.
So they have to lower their vibration.
Yes, they do. But they also, at the same time, have to continue in their progress. And progression is all about realization. Realization comes with the dawning of consciousness. And to continue to allow, to bring on the consciousness of any individual, a being meditates. And it may well be that revelations come within that meditation. So beings in the spirit world will meditate, perhaps for years in physical time. That may be the reason why you're not hearing from an uncle or a favorite aunt or whatever. Perhaps because they're doing other things, which is being busy in preparing their life and repairing it from their physical life. So perhaps they are not fixated upon that, but that is where their energy lies. And they are actually continuing to progress.
But how do, when you're on the earth, meditating raises your vibration, and
yes.
In the spirit world, you meditate, you raise your vibration through meditating in the spirit world, and yet you're lowering it? How does that work?
Yes, quite so, because when you are in the spirit world and you want to make contact with a physical being, you have to lower your vibration to the pulse of that physical being, to the actual vibration index that that physical being has created through their meditation, or lack of it. And so that means then that obviously if you are, shall we say, for example, a physical being who has murdered someone, then your vibration index will be very low, which will mean that you will most probably attract attention from the vibration of other beings in the spirit world who are also of a low vibration. Mm-hmm. And that will just compound your problem, which is partly why we actually advocate that people who are in prison or something like that should also learn to meditate. It's something that will do them the power of good. It will help them to face up to their responsibility and understand their real true worth. Yes, admittedly, it might not be that much to begin with. They may think that they are the lowest of the low because they are. That's the truth. They can't get any lower than that. Or perhaps they can with even worse acts of criminality. But that is really to say that with all beings, you can all raise your vibration through the process of meditation, through the realization of establishing what energy is and what you are at, and understanding and facing up to that responsibility.
Okay, I'll just read out the telephone number again. If you would like to phone in and ask Spirit Gregory a question, maybe you have a problem with your development, or as long as it's something to do with that, you're more than welcome to phone in. It's toll-free. In the U.S., it's 877-876-5227. And in Canada, it's 888-810-8322. And we always do, when we're talking about this, we always say that people should open with an invocational prayer.
Yes.
Asking for the highest and the best to be with them at any time that you meditate or open yourself up in that way.
Yes, absolutely so.
And also close afterwards with a prayer.
Yes, of course.
Yes. I mean, you don't have to be religious. It's just safe conduct, sensible.
Prayer is just a word, friend.
Yes.
Prayer is one way of saying that you are opening yourself to the divine creation, to the love of all life. That's what you're doing, sending your love out in a gift, if you like. When you make a prayer or when you make an invocation, you are stating your cause and effect you wish to create. You wish to create an effect which is loving and inviting, which is something that you want to make communication with those in the ether world. So state it. State what that communication is.
So, okay, let's go back to our question from just a moment ago about guides meditating.
Yes.
What do they consciously have to do? When you choose, when the guide has chosen, or is it a team that chooses what guide is going to do what with this person?
Not necessarily. It will actually come about, first of all, that different people will come close to you, different beings in the spirit world. Some may blend very well, and this is a form of what we call it blending. That means that you may feel a being, you as a physical being, may feel a being in the spirit world, from the spirit world, an unseen force coming closer to you. This isn't something which is bringing you fear. This is something which is very loving and enveloping. It should always be loving and enveloping. Never fear. So this is a being who is gentle, strong but gentle. And maybe you just have a feeling that they're very close to you. You perhaps feel an overwhelming sense of love issuing from their auric field or from their energy, because that is what they're directing toward you. They're not being elusive or trying to evade you in any way. They're sending you love because they want to make with that connection of perfect unity, you see. Yes.
Hello, caller.
Hey, it's Gordon from New York. How are you, Sylvie?
Oh, hello, Gordon.
Hello, friend.
Lovely to hear from you.
Good to hear your program on. I'd like to ask a question. I've done this meditation called the Round Orange Red Ball. And the part I have a difficult time with is the instruction says that you are to become the round orange red ball. You don't do it in the way of visualizing it through your mind's eye. You sense it and feel it and become it, so to say. That's what I have a difficult time with, and not seeing the ball itself in my mind's eye. And also, I notice that sometimes when I try to do the meditation after maybe 5-10 minutes into the meditation, that the ball or it changes from the color from orange red where I can't see anything, but maybe like a deep blue, or maybe another day I can't see anything but a light green color. What's that all about?
Yes.
Wow.
Well, my friend, if you wish to use something which is a sort of a prop, then I can tell you that changing in colors to do with the prop that you use, and this may be a physical prop for those people who are not doing what you're doing, but something else, it may be a physical thing, or it may be something to do with a mental image, to do with imagery in your mind. Now, if it is to do with imagery in your mind, then if you are having anything to do with blue and powder blue and that kind of thing, what it actually is the spirit world are responding to your raised vibration. So they are giving you that color. It doesn't mean to say that you have to fixate upon it, but just bathe within it, because that is what it is sent for. It is sent to heighten your awareness.
Okay.
If you have a color of green, that is usually because they want you to feel restful in that vibration. That is the point of it. But what I have to say, friend, is you don't need to use any of that. You can actually just sit there and meditate and not have any construction of anything. Nothing physical, nothing mental. You don't have to have mental depicted images that you're supposed to see this being or that being or this object or that object. You don't need any of that. All you need to do is just to sit and meditate in the peace and silence. And these same colors will come to you there. You see, you don't need to use that sort of effect.
What do you get when you don't do this meditation, when you do a different meditation?
Well, I don't do that much of a meditation like that. I've been listening to a mantra. It's called the Gayatri, Gayatri. It's like from Hinduism or something.
Yes.
And that seems to fill me up with some energy. But the round orange red ball, it's just interesting because it's not that easy to, my mind tends to wander, you know. I guess it'll come better with more consistent practice. But when I do that, oftentimes I just experience, at first when I was doing it more consistently, I would see like these people or whatever. And I was like, why are they looking at me? Or you know what I mean? For instance, I'd see an Asian couple standing there just looking at me, elderly or whatever, and they'd have these amorous eyes.
Why not? Why would they not look at you? You've invited them. That's my point.
I was just wondering what they were doing there.
Yes, well, they were looking at you, observing you. Hello.
I mean,
you see, that is the point, communication. Hello. And that will be something which will bring about a change in the situation. They may just fade away then and go.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, this is something which will happen. You do not, as I say, you do not actually have to specifically say a particular mantra or you can if you want to. It's whatever, how they say on your side of life, floats your boat, yes.
But can I just say, the idea of the meditation, round orange red ball, is this to just go into an altered consciousness state?
Well, actually,
is it to do with contacting other people or going on a journey or?
Well, from my understanding, what I read, which is the purpose that I use it for, is to make you or allow you to release more to the energy of spirit. Does that make any sense?
Yes.
So do you open with a prayer? Do you say a prayer to start with, an invocation?
Actually, I just, because I've had difficulty with trying to just sense myself as this round orange red ball. I know you can imagine the various symbols that this round orange red ball would represent, the sun, eternity, and so forth. I think it's a symbol associated with Buddhism or something, but it's supposed to help you become more relaxed and be receptive to the pure energies of spirit so that you don't struggle with connecting with, tries to release to the energy of spirit so that you become more one with it rather than seeing it as another part of yourself. From what I understand, that's supposed to help that process.
I understand. Yes, well, that is a situation which is to do with symbolism, and that is supposed to then replace or center the activity of the mind so that you are not distracted. That is the whole premise behind it. So by centering your mind, you then move in through this elliptical urge, which is to do with your periphery vision, then becomes distended and shrinks back so that you only then see the round orange red ball or whatever it is that you are supposed to be focusing on. You could have exactly the same effect if you focused on a candle with your eyes wide open or something like that. You could also have exactly the same effect, and I understand, my friend, and I take good credit to you for saying that you have trouble with your mind. Most people do have trouble with the latent mind, the way that it is unruly, that you haven't brought it under control. The point of meditation really is to bring the mind under control. So if it works for you, the round orange red ball or whatever, whatever other practice that you make, if that works for you, then use it. But the whole point of meditation is for you to focus, in fact, upon the inner energy loving well within a self. And by releasing this energy, it releases you. So when you feel that you have all of this knotted stomach and you're trying to think about, well, what is in my mind, what am I seeing, and you're attracted by different things in your meditation, that is something which destroys the flow, you would agree. So the point of having a fixation of one object, one thing to bring into your mind, is that this actually centers you as a being and then leaves out all of the rest of the world, enabling you to come to peace. What we are trying to say to you is that we advocate, if you do not use these effects and you just use your mind and learn and practice, and yes, means you have to practice every day for about 20 minutes, even 10 minutes. That's not long out of 24 hours. Mm-hmm. 10 minutes isn't long to do anything. Yes.
So you need to... I think, personally, it would be a lot easier to get to where you want to be without any prop like that. Because while you're thinking about it as well, your mind is active, thinking about what you're trying to achieve. So therefore, you're not achieving the void that you are after, if you know what I mean. Do you understand?
I noticed that the instruction was different. It was different in the sense they were saying, do not see the symbol in your mind. Do not visualize it as you've learned it in the traditional sense, but just be aware of it. Aware of it. And I'm saying, how does one be aware of something and become and sense that you are that without seeing it in your mind's eye? That's what I...
Yes, exactly.
Exactly, my friend. Yeah. I don't know.
The point is that if you are supposed to be just becoming aware of it and aware that it is there but not actually focusing upon it, then you are surely going to miss it. When you don't see it or when you don't feel it's there, you're going to think, oh, well, where is it? Where's it gone? And there you have it. You have destroyed what you're trying to build up, which is absence.
Right. So, it seems to contravene the whole purpose of it in itself because, how do you sense the color and sense within your entire being the roundness of it and so forth and never see it in your third eye?
Yes, quite so.
Absolutely. And then all of a sudden, spirit brings you something, a beautiful blue or a beautiful green that you weren't expecting.
Can't get it out of my head. I mean, I can't, well, my head. I want to say I can't get it out of the awareness of what I've become, this round shape. But, for instance, the other day, it was like, oh, I started off fine with the round orange blood ball, and then everything just changed. I just got this very deep blue color all through my throat and all through my everything. And it was like the color of, what do you call those dark stones, those really deep blue stones.
Sapphire?
No, it's the dark one that's very sensitive. Lapis, that's what they call it.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Well, you know, I mean, try them all. You know, do it. But at the end of the day, I think the silent way will be the way that I think you will become much more fulfilled. And I think we've run to time, actually, again. So thank you for your call, Gordon.
Well, thank you.
Hopefully we'll speak to you again soon.
Okay, thanks so much.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Thank you. Goodbye. God bless.
Mm-hmm. Bye-bye.
So, yes, silence is the best approach to make.
Absolutely.
Silence and be at peace. And don't dwell on all of these different, you should see this shape or that shape or have this prism in your mind or whatever it is. If you want to do that, then do it. But it won't help you. What will help you is to learn to control your mind through absence of thought. Absence of thought.
Okay. And we'll talk more about this next week because...
Yes.
It is a huge subject.
Absolutely so.
Okay.
It's never-ending in a sense.
Absolutely. Okay. Well, thank you very much, Gregory.
With love and light, then. Yes.
Thank you.
God bless.
Okay. So, as I say, mini Akashic readings will be on this show again on the 16th of April. So send me your full name at birth, that's your middle name as well, your date of birth, one question, and your phone number, and email me at enq@spirit-teaching.com. Our website is spirit-teaching.com, and we hope you've enjoyed the show. My name is Sylvie Avery, and until next time, be peaceful, be positive, and focused on your goal, knowing that you're not alone in trying to create a better world. Goodbye.